This morning, I am going to preach a sermon that is different from the one I prepared from the start of the week. Nevertheless, it's going to be a sermon that concludes our time in the book of Judges. We have gone through the book of Judges through the summer season. I've been greatly edified in preparing and hearing sermons and God's words preached in regards to this. I hope you have too. And we trust this morning that God, we're confident that God will continue to minister to us through His Word this morning. Our final wrap-up sermon for this series is entitled, There Was No King. There Was No King. Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Judges 18:1. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Judges 19:1. In those days, when there was no king in Israel. Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Earlier this week, I joined my kids for a few minutes sitting and watching the show Shark Tank. Shark Tank, for those of you who don't know, is an opportunity for entrepreneurs and business people to come to some wealthy individuals, present their company or their product in hopes of getting loans and partnership from these wealthy people. Well, in this particular episode of Shark Tank that I watched with Arwen, there was a lady who had created a product. It was called a skinny mirror. It's exactly what it sounds like. A mirror in which you could go in front of in order to look thinner. Now, I believe she had a good motive behind that. She brought up the fact that most people, and women in particular, almost entirely evaluate their own weight incorrectly. They always see themselves, at least in our society, as heavier than they are. And she felt by using this mirror, and she was selling it to retailers, to stores, to clothers, that she would help people see themselves more accurately. But in fact, the sharks rejected, all of them rejected being part of this, because they said she was not dealing with reality. That the skinny mirror, regardless of the good motivation behind it, would not be showing reality to the people looking in the mirror. And so they rejected that mirror. Well, the book of Judges is a mirror. Daniel Block, the commentator who I have used the most during the course of this sermon series, writes that no book in the Old Testament offers the modern reader in the church a telling, a mirror as this book. The reason is because the book of Judges deals with harsh realities. And these harsh realities result in the realization that there was no king. Well, this has been a week of harsh realities. The events of this week have brought into perspective a perspective that our culture often leaves us unaware of, a perspective of reality. However, unlike the book of Judges, which reveals there was no king, this week's events and the painful realities have revealed to us the opposite. They've revealed to us there is a king. There is a king. Throughout the book of Judges, we see the downward spiraling of God's people. Their religious, moral, and social degradation is a significant theme throughout this book. We followed it from the very first verses. And it is clear that this degraded existence is a result of their own lack of faithfulness. Hence the title of the sermon series, Falling from Faithfulness. We are told throughout the book, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That is the refrain that is tagged on to the declaration that there was no king. there was no king and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And there was no king is the theological commentary of the author, both the human author and the divine author. We see that in the last four chapters as this is repeated again and again. As the author has relayed the stories of the judges and the failing of God's people, he clearly implies that if Israel had a king, things wouldn't be this way. However, as you follow the biblical narrative, you come to realize in the books of Samuel and Kings and Chronicles that eventually Israel has kings. And ultimately, things didn't turn out any different. God's people still fell from faithfulness and continually betrayed their God. Was the author of Judges wrong in implying that Israel needed a king? No, he wasn't. However, what the continued story of Israel indicates is that God's people need a certain kind of king. In fact, they need a king who is greater than all of their problems. They need a powerful king who could overcome their own weaknesses and failings. They needed a capital K king. Well, the story of the Bible informs us that the great king that they needed eventually came. And his greatness was found in the fact that he was not only a man, but that he was God himself. His name was Jesus. And King Jesus lived among his people, and he showed his people how to live in perfect faithfulness to God. And in that perfect faithfulness, he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. King Jesus died for his people in their place. He died to save them from sin and from their sins and the punishment those sins require. He showed his kingly greatness by his death, which brought them forgiveness and reconciled them to God, who adopted them into his family. To those who believe and trust in this king for their redemption, he becomes a savior. And perhaps he showed his greatness in the most powerful way by also defeating death. After dying, King Jesus rose from the dead. The horrendous events in the time of the judges left God's people with a profound sense of the absence of a great king who could help them. The tragic events of the past week have left me with a profound sense of the presence of a great king who has saved us, who is saving us, and who will save us. And so for my sermon this morning, I would like to share with you a bit of what I have witnessed over the course of the last week, a bit of what I have seen and heard that has not left me wondering where the king is, but has convinced me once again of the king's presence in the lives of his people. Small blessings. I've sensed the great king's presence this week through the surprising support of small blessings. Got to hear in a hallway in the hospital a fuller story of the accounts of Wednesday evening. And I heard something which I found incredible. As the police officers helped the family who was left, as the kids were being picked up, Mario and Kendra and Jace already having left, the police officer recognized that these were people of faith and asked the kids if they could pray together. As we were in the hallway, I think Graham or Lyle asked Keegan, "Isn't that great? You got to pray with a police officer?" Keegan, being a boy, said, "Yeah, and he had a real gun." A small blessing from a police officer with a real gun who stopped to pray with these kids. the small blessing of a lady in our church whose husband and kids are away on vacation. A lady who happens to be a close friend of Kendra and Mario, who could drop everything to go and be at the hospital and be at their home and support them through this. A small blessing of a husband and children who are on vacation, freeing up time so that one of God's children could help some other of God's children. Or how about the small blessing of one of the doctors in the unit being a member of this church? One of the guys who has the stethoscope around their neck, who in these times you look to for help and guidance, and seeing a familiar face, someone who believes what we believe, who understands the sovereignty of God. A small blessing in the midst of a difficult time. Or the blessing on that evening of having some friends over. Kendra and Mario had some friends from the church over that evening. Some friends who helped in the midst of that chaotic situation. One that would have been certainly more difficult without those friends there. Small blessings. The small blessings showed the presence of a great king in the midst of difficulty. Psalm 40, 16 and 17. The psalmist writes, "But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, 'Great is the Lord.' As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me." Our great Lord and King knows we are needy, but he takes thought for us. King Jesus made his presence known through small but powerful blessings. We are not without a great king in the midst of our pain and tribulation and difficulties. The great king was making his presence known. I've also sensed the presence of a great king and the support from his people's prayer. Faithful prayers have communicated this week the presence of a king. Over those first 36 hours in particular, my phone never stopped vibrating. Continually, message after message, after email after email, God's people telling me we're praying. People who don't even know the Ngabwes texting me we're praying. Churches around the city, we've gathered our prayer team together to pray for the Ngabwes in your congregation. Even this morning, pastors texting me, "We'll be praying for you guys this morning." The continual messages of King's people praying and the actual sense of being supported and strengthened in the midst of this is evidence that the king was present. I met Kendra and Mario and Kendra's parents at the funeral home yesterday to make arrangements. And I want to tell you, Kendra is amazing. For any of you who have seen her over the past few days, it's hard to believe. And as I mentioned this to her, looked her in the face and said, "You know, Kendra, I just got to say you're doing amazing." She laughed. She said, "That's not me." She said, "You know me, and that's not me." She said, "That's God, and that's the prayers of God's people supporting me through this." And so the king was making his presence known. Keep praying, church. Keep praying through this weekend, through tomorrow, and the coming weeks and months. Certainly God is strengthening him now, and he will continue to do so. But I don't think it will always be like this for them. There will be difficult, dark times. There'll be questions. There'll be pain. There'll be tears. Let's keep praying for the Ngabwes, that they would continue to feel the presence of a great king as they walk through this. I've sensed the great King's presence and the loving care of his people. John 13, 34 and 35 says this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You know, so often we apply that to outsiders. If outsiders see us loving one another, then they'll recognize the King. But it says to all people. And when God's family rises up in love for another member of God's family, he shows himself present to them. And I've seen that this week. We've had offers from strangers. Anything you need. I mean, they don't even know the Ngabwes. You know, our people from this congregation, I've never spoken to them. They wouldn't know who I am. But if you need anything, call me, whatever it is. We see the love of God's people demonstrating the presence of a King to those who are hurting. We see the love of close friends who, though I know, would want nothing more to have been by Kendra and Mario's side in the hospital. Nevertheless, took their children. I haven't asked them, but that was a sacrifice. They wanted to be with Mario and Kendra, and yet they saw the children and took those children into the home to love and to pour God's grace on them, demonstrating to those children the King was present. I even think of one of our own congregation members, a young man, he's not married yet, but took the time to stop off and visit the kids, to speak with them, to pray with them. And as we heard the message of that visit, we were encouraged as well. I have seen and sensed the presence of the King and the love of his people. And finally, I have sensed the presence of the King and the image bearing of that King by two people. You see, we are to resemble our King. We have been saved in order to be conformed into his image. People ought to be able to see King Jesus in us. And I saw him this week. I saw him in and through two of his image bearers. I saw him in two of his people who were and are walking through a horrific and painful experience of which I cannot fathom. And I pray as I share a few stories with you, you will see the King too. Matthew chapter 22, 15 through 22 relays a story about Jesus. It goes like this. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him, Jesus, in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin from the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And when they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. It's a bit of an odd story and verses to share at a time like this, but it immediately came to mind on Wednesday night as I was invited by Mario and Kendra to sit in on the meeting they first had with the doctors after Jace had been stabilized. After they had done tests and got a sense of where this situation was, they decided to meet with the parents, and I was invited to join them. A very wonderful, kind, and gracious doctor spoke to them, and he spoke professionally, and he spoke graciously. very carefully and thoughtfully how he articulated his words. But to boil it down for you, to leave out all the medical jargon, he essentially said there is no reason for hope in this situation. The content of his message was, you ought to expect the worst. And it was amazing as Mario, holding his wife with perfect composure and clarity, looked directly into this doctor's face, a few feet of table separating them. And he rendered to Caesar what was Caesar's, and he rendered to God what was God's. He looked at the doctor and he said, I respect you. He said, I am so thankful that you are our doctor. I recognize that you are the expert. I trust what you're saying. And I honor you for being my doctor. But, he said, I believe in miracles. And we'll pray for a miracle. I saw King Jesus in those words to the doctor. I saw the reality of someone recognizing that he was in a situation with his wife and with their son, not denying it or being naive about it, but standing firm in his faith and trust in God. I saw King Jesus and Kendra and Mario in that moment. Matthew 26:39. We hear of Jesus a short time before he was crucified. It says, in the garden he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So let me take you to the waiting room in the hospital. After all the tests had been done and it had been determined that this young, precious boy was clinically dead. I again sat in the room and watched the proceedings and heard those words spoken to Mario and Kendra. And then followed them as they walked into the waiting room. And as Mario gathered the people who were there and gathered his family and his friends, and said several amazing things, one of which was this. Having earlier declared to the doctor that he was praying for a miracle, he spoke to us and he said, we prayed for a miracle. We didn't get the miracle we wanted, but we will get a miracle because God will work good from this. People, his son had just died. He said, it's not the one we were hoping for, but he said, I'm okay with that. I saw Jesus in that. Not my will, but yours be done. It was interesting, shortly after that, the group who was there went up to the cafeteria to eat. And I was the last one leaving the waiting room, and there were other people in the visitors in the waiting room with other sick people in that unit who witnessed these events, who witnessed the words that Mario spoke. And she said, can I stop you for a minute? I said, yeah. She said, I want to tell you that was amazing. She said, everyone needs to see what I just saw. You know, I'm thinking to myself, what? A father gathering his people together to tell them their son is dead? And she went on to describe how moved she was by this godly man faithfully declaring God's truth in the midst of that situation. She says, I don't even know what to do with that. I don't know what to do with what I've just seen, but I wish everybody could see that. She saw the King. Finally, 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 23. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. In regards to suffering particularly. Goes on to say, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. The King, King Jesus, in his suffering for you and I, entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Let us understand this morning that no one suffered greater than him. Our worst tragedy pales in comparison. And we are told he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. I saw King Jesus through his joint heirs, through his brother and sister, Mario and Kendra, as they entrusted themselves to the one who judges justly. They entrusted themselves to the God who is sovereign, even as we sang, over all the details of life, every one of them. I had a few conversations with Mario in the waiting room that were largely aside from anything that was going on. Really, they were conversations to pass the time, and I was happy to have them with them. But at one time, we got on to speaking about God's sovereignty and what that was like. And Mario said, so many people talk about God's sovereignty like they're making sandwiches. I had no idea what he was talking about. But he went on to explain. I don't know why that image came to his mind. But he said, we talk about God's sovereignty. It's like a simple, obvious thing. It's like making a sandwich, like something we could do every day. And he said, God's sovereignty isn't that way. God's sovereignty is one of the greatest mysteries we will ever encounter. And he says, I find it frustrating when we talk about it like we're making sandwiches. And he's right. God is sovereign. But there's still pain, and there's still confusion, and there's still doubt. But in the midst of that, I saw Mario and Kendra entrusting themselves to their sovereign God. And I sensed King Jesus in this. In fact, a great king is the only explanation for that sort of talk in that sort of situation. Mario wasn't the only one who really astounded me as we came out of the room after Jace had been declared clinically dead. Kendra amazed me also. She walked into the small waiting room beside the larger waiting room. We could all barely fit in it. And before she said anything else, she said, I want to sing It Is Well. They said, we were just singing that. She said, well, we're going to sing it again. It is well with my soul. She was entrusting herself to the one who judges justly because she recognized that he's sovereign and that he's loving. And I don't mean to contend that she understood everything that was going on and she was okay with it and it wasn't causing her great pain and it won't continue to cause her pain and confusion and doubts in the future. I believe it will. But she is entrusting herself to a king who is sovereign over everything and loves her dearly and proved his love to her. And so I saw that firm foundation that they stand on. I have seen an image of the King and his image bearers this week, and he has made his presence known. Been to New York a couple times. I love going to New York. It's fascinating. Had a couple discussions about going to New York as there's members of our congregation who are visiting and have visited this summer. And as they asked me to relay my experiences, I said, I never feel unsafe in New York. And my wife says, of course you don't. You're 320 pounds. She was relaying that as a big person with the shaved head and the, you know, ex-convict look. That my presence carried something with it that impacted and affected those people around us. I remember as we come up out of the subway in Spanish Harlem to cops surrounding a gang member who was bloodied on the stairways up, and to some chaos on the street as we exited out of the tunnel. I remember feeling Nicole's hands grab my shirt from behind, and as I walked, she just got behind me and we went through the crowd. But there's a presence that comes with bigness. It made me think of a preacher and author and pastor and writer who we actually will have with us next year at the Caporus Conference, a fellow named Jared Wilson. Before he goes up to preach, or before he goes up to minister, on his Twitter account, he shares his prayer with the people who follow him on Twitter. And his prayer is, "Be big, Jesus. Be big today, Jesus." Well, Mario and Kendra serve a big Jesus. They serve a great King. And their great King Jesus made himself known, made his perfect presence felt as they walked through this trial. My hope and prayer this morning, and their hope and prayer this morning, is that you would all see King Jesus in the midst of this pain, that you would all sense the presence of a mighty King in the midst of the heartache and the uncertainty that this sort of tragedy opens up. In the time of Judges, there was no king. But in our time, there is a King. His name is Jesus, and he's a big King. He died to save us. He died that we might not die but live eternally with him. And he is with us now. He's with us through everything we experience. Will you, this morning, see the great King? Will you open the eyes of your heart to see the mighty King that we serve, to see his love for you, to see his power as he controls and ordains all things that come to pass? Will you trust in him, even as Mario and Kendra are doing this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the story of Judges that ultimately ends on a depressing note. There was no king in Israel. But glory to God, there is a King now. And his name is Jesus. And he came and he lived with us. And he died for us. And he reconciles people to God. And we're so thankful for that this morning. I pray by your Spirit that as our church walks through this difficult time with Mario and Kendra, and particularly for them, help us to see King Jesus through it all. Help us, even as your word tells us to follow the examples of people who are like Christ, help us to see Mario and Kendra entrusting themselves to their great King, putting their faith in him, falling into his arms, letting him bring comfort and security and even faith in the midst of the questions and doubts. Help us to see King Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen.